Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early, on the first day of the week when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Shown up with spices, and what happened was not what they were expecting to happen. When a woman showed up at the bank to make a payment on her car loan, I did not expect that my life would change. or that what would come from her time there, doing something ordinary, would be anything particularly good. I was just there that day, doing my job and showing up myself, working as a teller, giving people their money, taking it back again, some variant on that task. It could have been any day of the week. I don't actually remember. Maybe it was the morning or the late morning. But regardless of the time of day, the series of events that unfolded was nothing that I would have expected. Well, this woman was there at my teller window, paying on her car loan, trying to make things right again. Unbeknownst to her, the tow truck that had been instructed to repossess her car for failure to pay on that loan had followed her to the bank, and it had already hooked its chain to her vehicle, and there was no stopping it now. I don't remember her name. I think maybe that it was Kim. Deeply saddened, but not surprised, Kim came back into the bank, and she found a spot to mourn her loss in the lobby. She was stranded. The only thing I could think to do was to lock my cash drawer and walk around the other teller windows and sit with her in silence until we figured out what to do next. For that moment, there was absolutely no good news to share, and nothing I would have said would have helped Kim. And she wasn't sure what to do other than cry. And so there we sat together. I'm a little foggy, actually, on how we ended up parting ways, but I do have clarity on one thing. Her life and my life changed that day. I wonder, was that what it might have been like for the women who made their way to the tomb that morning? Did they know what they were about to face? Three of them walking together before dawn, smelling that aroma of spices that they carried in their hands, meditating on this task that was before them. Together, these three were expecting to anoint Jesus' wounded body and lay him to his final resting place with a sense of dignity. Together, they wondered if they would have enough strength to muster rolling away that big stone. Or perhaps they brainstormed who they might find to push it away from the entrance of the tomb so that they could get to their holy work. And would that person stay long enough to roll that stone back into place when they were done? Were their eyes still tired? Their hearts still sunken from crying on Friday? Or was it too dark because it was so, so early? Or could they be really looking at a stone that had been rolled back? Not deterred by that out-of-place stone, in a moment of courage, they stoop and they enter that grave. And to their surprise, there's no body to embalm. Jesus, their teacher and friend, who had been crucified, is not there before them. Instead, they see this young man dressed in white with a message for them. And of course, they would be totally confused and disoriented. Our word in the Bible today was alarmed, shaken, trembling. And even though the messenger gives them words that the story has not ended, and that Jesus would meet the disciples and Peter showing up in Galilee, the women are so shocked that their fight or flight kicks in and they flee. And the gospel writer reports that they say nothing to a soul. Maybe it was because they couldn't figure out what had just happened. Or maybe it was because they were so afraid that people would think that they were responsible for this missing body. Or crazy for telling their version of the story. Or just plain and simple, that they were so terrified that they could not physically speak. These women had just shown up with spices, and what happened was not what they were expecting to happen. Like those women at the tomb, you have shown up this Easter morning to this place. Some of us showed up ready to sing our alleluias from the depth of our being. Some of us showed up because it was expected. Some of us showed up because today feels holy and special, and it seems like the right thing to do on Easter morning, to show up. Some of us showed up because we would be here any other Sunday. Some of us showed up because our hearts are searching, eager to explore if in fact the story matters to us still or to the world. Regardless of why we came, we showed up. And we all come to the story today from unique vantage points in our lives. Having lived lives filled with certainty and uncertainty, we come to this place and we receive again the story and receive again a meal or a blessing. And regardless of our hopes for the day, our wonderings if maybe it's not all too good to be true, or our deep, deep faith in the promises of God, we are reminded yet again that Jesus Christ, who was crucified for the sins of the world, has risen from the grave, has shown up again. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The choir just sang. While the story may be incomplete, we have the luxury of perspective to know that the story does go on. So we can in faith say that Christ has conquered, that God's glory fills us, that darkness vanishes forever. Together, our alleluias blend to praise God, who by the blood of his own Son has redeemed us from our primal impulses to cement ourselves to our wrongdoing and to death, or to run and to hide and to not show up. For ourselves, for others, or for God. But in the death and resurrection of Christ, we are released from that reality, rescued from evil, renewed in grace, restored to holiness, and invited to show up with the presence of God. Through this victory, God washes away the broken pieces of your heart and in your life. God restores to you joy. God restores joy to those who mourn, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles the proud. Heaven and earth are joined in our alleluias today, and so we pray that the light of this candle, which we burn as a sign of Christ's resurrection dawn, might remind us of our very own resurrection into eternal life and the power of a presence. And the power of showing up. Throughout the scriptures, God has this repeated pattern of making a way when it seems like there isn't one. God has demonstrated this most clearly in his Son, in the cross, and also in the empty tomb. Where death was expected, death was not found. Instead, life showed up. The day that Kim lost her car was a pivotal day for me and the point of my discernment to become a pastor. We did not know each other. We did not know what to do. But on that very day, I realized sitting beside her there that whether I was a teller at a bank or a pastor in a pulpit, that I would always feel that pull to show up and be with people in their pain. And because of Kim's story, that very next day, in one day, I applied to seminary and to candidacy, which is the process to become a pastor, in one fell swoop, because of Kim's story. I realized sitting there with her that I would always want to find a way to share a word of hope with someone when they were close to at the rock at the bottom, to share the news that the rock had been rolled away, and that even when it seems like God is absent and life is ending, God shows up. And so does life in Christ. I wish I knew how her story ended, but I do know that it continued. I do know that there was a friend to call and a ride home. If nothing else, the Easter message holds that truth for us that life does continue, not only here and now in this life, but also in the life beyond this life. Today we celebrate that Easter promise and the power of showing up, spices in hand. It's a powerful thing, just showing up. For when we do, we see that it is possible for life to come from death. And when we are open, like that tomb, to this mystery, when we show up, we too hear good news that the woman also heard. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has been raised and will show up ahead of you. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.